Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Welcome, Bree Schmidt. Bree is a real estate broker, investor, landlord, and founding partner of turnkey-reviews.com. Bree started purchasing investment properties in 2011 and currently owns and manages 80 rental units in Chicago and Milwaukee. She opened her own brokerage company and now works with investors to start or build their own portfolio. In 2015, she launched turnkeyreviews.com, which is a one-stop shop for turnkey buyers. The site features reviews of turnkey providers, articles, properties for sale, and a podcast interviewing buyers about their experiences. Welcome, Bree.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, share with us, please, your business model. Jill and I are super intrigued.
Well, depends on what part of I technically think I have three different businesses.
Okay.
I've got the buy and hold properties, which I self-manage our Chicago portfolio, and then I hire out property managers to manage our Milwaukee portfolio. Then I have my brokerage business in both states, and then I have the turnkey review site. So those are the three kind of areas that I involve myself in.
Okay. Well, which one's your favorite?
Oh, that's a hard one. I like them all. They're all interesting. You know, the good thing about each of them is they're somewhat tied to each other. So there's a cohesiveness involved. And then they're all kind of different. So whether I'm representing clients here in Chicago or dealing with my properties in Milwaukee or hosting my own podcast and managing the website, I'm pretty much spending 90% of my life talking to real estate investors. So that's fun. And I get, you know, ideas from everyone else and different, like being able to talk with investors all day long. You get to kind of take nuggets from what they say and then apply them in your business, which I find very interesting.
What's the biggest question you get from a potential investor?
Mainly about the market. You know, what's the market like? What kind of returns can I see? What are the pros and cons of investing in this type of area? And because I do Chicago and Milwaukee, those are both two very different markets. So they each have their pros and cons. I like both markets and I wouldn't trade one for the other, but it's really understanding like what are your goals and what are you looking to accomplish and then what market's going to really best fit those needs for you.
So as I understand your model, you guys either buy or control, let's say a house, clean it up or maybe not clean it up. Do you get it rented out and then offer the whole package kind of as a turnkey investment to somebody who just doesn't want to get involved in all the details?
Oh, I don't sell turnkey properties.
Okay.
So all with the turnkey website, we are a disinterested third party that allows people to review their turnkey providers on the site. But we have no involvement whatsoever with actually marketing, selling, or doing anything with turnkey properties.
Okay.
And we took that position specifically because it all kind of started with my partner who has funded a bunch of turnkey providers. He has been involved with the turnkey industry for a couple of decades, I believe. And, you know, he and I both had people reach out to us constantly for advice on either our local market or other markets just based on our experience level. And the reality is 90% of turnkey providers are fantastic and people have great experiences with them. But the other 10%, you hear these horror stories of people, you know, having their money taken or they buy a house and they lied about the renovations or they bought in a bad area. And now they've got 6, 7, 8 months of vacancy. So the purpose of the site was to allow people to review what their experience was like and for people to be able to do their due diligence and start with providers that are reputable.
Mm-hmm. So do they buy into this service?
Who?
A potential investor?
Or does the turnkey service?
Or does the company do they pay to be on your site? How does it work money-wise?
Currently, it is a free site for everyone involved.
Oh, okay.
It will always be a free site for the buyer to go either read the articles, listen to the podcast, you know, search the properties, or engage with the different turnkey providers. But we have not launched a revenue model yet on the turnkey provider side, which will be coming eventually.
Okay.
That's cool. So it's really just a service that you're providing, somewhere for someone to share their experiences for somebody else to know, you know, hey, they're good, they're not good, whatever kind of thing.
Exactly. And that's why we wanted the site to be, we've got different, they're able to be rated on like quality of rehab, communication, how they deal with the tenants. Because some people are very strong in some areas and then weaker in the others. And it gives the buyer an opportunity to read through the actual reviews and see, okay, like these are what, you know, some of the pitfalls are, so that you kind of know going into it, like what to expect. And then that's what I also do on the podcast when I interview the buyers, is mainly talking about their experience. You know, how do they find the markets? How do they find the turnkey provider? You know, what are some questions they wish they would have asked in the beginning? Like looking back now that you've owned them for a while, you know, what are some downfalls that you can share with other people to help them not make the same mistakes that you did?
Mm-hmm. Got it. So you're like the Yelp of real estate, you know, passive real estate investors.
That's exactly what we're looking to do. Yep.
I love it. That makes sense. That's great.
I feel so compelled to ask you about specific people, but I'm not going to. We just
I can't answer. that's part of the joys of being a disinterested third party, is we cannot make any sort of personal recommendations about these companies. But that's what the site's for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just cracking up. How often do you go to the site and you're kind of looking around and you go, what the heck? You know, like somebody really did that, you know, kind of thing, I can imagine.
Yeah. That's why we did the site. You know, I got a few emails, but Jay was getting them like once a week. You know, and it was buyers from Australia or buyers from out of the country that don't have the access to come visit these markets. And they were sold on this, you know, great idea of turnkey. And they were buying these, you know, houses in D areas. The pictures were taken to show only the good stuff, not the bad. And people lost money. And that's why we wanted to create the site, was a way. And we always said, like, if we never profit from this, that's perfectly fine with us. That's never, was never the intention for us. It was more of a place where, you know what, these people are kind of lost and need somewhere to start. And what would be a better place than to start with reading people's actual experiences with these companies?
Do some of the companies, like, do they know that they're on there? Like,
of course.
Do they? Okay. So when I go and put my thing, like, hey, I just had a stellar, this is a new person in my area, and I just had a fantastic experience, I want to share it with the world, I put it on there, then somehow they know that I did that kind of thing?
Yeah, most of them, we do have two different levels on the site of turnkey providers. Some are what we call feature, or they're not feature, they're verified. So those are people that we've spoken with before. We've set up their profile, because if you don't reach out to us, you just have like no logo, no website, you know, you're not linked on your social media. But once we work with someone and they get set up for the site, it links to all their social media, their website, their logos added to it, their bios added to it. And then they are aware that they are getting reviews from the site.
I like that too, because it makes them a little more accountable.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins, exactly.
So our business model is that we purchase land as inexpensively as possible, like unwanted vacant rural land. We've been doing it since the 90s, and we've completed almost 16,000 deals right now. So we buy it for as cheap as we can, and we either resell it on terms or we resell it for cash. And now we have a pretty large membership base where we're teaching our members to do the same thing. Is there any place for our members in that business model on this website?
Only if they were selling properties with property management teams in place, because that's really the turnkey model. The benefit of buying turnkey and why people do it is generally they're busy professionals with full-time jobs, either living in markets that don't cash flow what they're looking for, or just don't have an interest in being a full-time real estate investor. So they generally buy properties in Midwest, Texas, Florida, sort of areas, and are completely hands off because there's already a rehab team in place, there's already a leasing team in place, there's already a property management team in place, and they just pay them to manage the asset, sometimes never even visiting the city that they're investing in.
Okay. So it needs to be all, the team's got to be in place. It needs to be either rented or sold, or it needs to be cash flowing, right?
Correct.
Okay. So in your spare time, what do you do?
What spare time? That's a really good question. I don't know yet because we haven't, I'm the kind of person where, you know, when there's a lull in my life, I just seem to find something else to do with it, which is kind of a problem. You know, I was working full time up until July of 2014, which is when I quit my job to do real estate full time. And, you know, we had just purchased our first set of properties in Milwaukee. I thought I was going to be needed a lot more up there to handle the day to day, and I wasn't. And then, you know, a month goes by and I was just bored. I thought I would be one of those, you know, relaxing people that could sit in a cafe and read a book during the day. I'm not. So I started the brokerage business to help with my time. And so then that started taking off. But in Chicago, you know, in winter, our real estate business slows down big time. Right. We probably do 15 to 20% of the volume during the winter months than we do in our normal peak months. So it was at that time when, you know, last December, things had slowed down for me. I really didn't have much to do. We had just, you know, completed our second acquisition in Milwaukee. We weren't planning anything for till the next quarter. And that's when I was approached by my partner with the turnkey site. So then I, you know, used that to focus my time on, and haven't really had downtime since. But when I do have spare time, my husband and I both love to travel. So that is kind of the reason why we're even involved in any of this in the first place, is so that we could travel and go to places that we want to go and take off more than our 1 week vacation that we get from our corporate jobs every year, you know?
Yeah, that's why we're all doing this. So we're not tied down.
It's hard. And my husband just joined me in the business. Actually, last week was his first official week of being self-employed. And now we're, you know, planning a couple of trips moving forward, trying to figure out where we want to go first. But not having that, you know, not worrying about the PTO time. Like, that's a new thing for us because he was always tied to what his company would allow him to do.
That's fantastic. So does he on paper work for you, Bree?
Not necessarily, no. He and I are both co-owners of our buy and hold portfolio. I am the sole owner of our brokerage business, and then I have a partner with the Turnkey Reviews website business. So we haven't really figured out exactly yet where he's going to fit in, but he's been working the same job for the same company for 10 years. So he's taking a complete break off the winter, and then we'll kind of reassess things in spring.
That's so good. All right, you run into some of the things that I do, I'm sure. Isn't it interesting sometimes when you're out and you, if anyone asks what you do, and it's, I'm going for the woman thing. It's, I get looks sometimes when they're like, you know, when I talk about what I do, because like, you're a girl, you know, yeah. You know, it seems like there's more men, right?
Very much more.
Thank you. So what have been some of the things that you've, you know, come up against, some of the obstacles or that you've had to?
I'm such a brash person, that I'm not very forgiving when it comes to business. You know, if I ask you to do something, I expect it to be done. And if you're not going to do it, I'm going to fire you. It is simple as that. So I've never really had too much problems with being a female in this industry, because 99% of the time, once someone meets me and spends 5 minutes understanding me, they know that I'm there to do business and that I don't screw around. So I really haven't had too much problems with it. You definitely get, you know, people that make side comments, or, you know, I'm in my early 30s. So I'm pretty young too. And I always get comments about, oh, but you're like, are you even 30 yet? Or can you drive a car? And it's just like, sure, buddy. Ask me again in 5 years when I've, you know, completely done better and grown my business farther than you have. It's just insulting sometimes.
How many people have you fired in the last 4 months?
My biggest firing was I fired my property manager about 3 weeks ago. He ran 72 units for us. So it was a very big decision to have to make. but it needed to be done. And it was very difficult because he and I were very close. We weren't just business associates. We were also friends. But it is what it is, and it had to be done. And, you know, we're all moving forward from it and maintaining our relationship.
Do you know karate, Bree?
I do not. I want to take karate, though. I want to do kickboxing. But I don't have time.
Yeah.
It's on my to-do list. But, I mean, this is a business. You have to make tough choices sometimes. And if it's not being run like a business, I mean, this is my livelihood. You know, this is my everything. If our properties aren't performing, like, that is our main source of income. And if we're running into problems and the properties aren't being maintained to our expectations, like, there's just no excuse for that. And so you have to, you know, make some hard choices and move on and deal with the repercussions of that.
There's so many property managers, too. I'll tell you, it's, and there's so many property managers in my experience that you have to go through to find the one that works for you.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really, really hard. And it's, I mean, no one's going to treat your properties like you do. You know, that's a given.
And I think people deal with the owners differently than they do with managers.
I agree. Very much so. And it's been an interesting few weeks because generally our tenants do not have my phone number. But during the transition, I had to give them my phone number in case they had any questions and wanted to verify that I'm telling them to pay someone else rent. And so I've been having a lot more tenant communications than I normally do. And, you know, it's the things that I hear that I've heard recently are things that I had no idea that was going on. Because now they're not, I don't want to say bad talking, but I'm just learning a lot more about how things were run that I just was completely blind to.
Right. So it's not a bad thing. It's almost
no.
Like I'm happy to be on the front line and answering the phones. I really want to know what's going on. You know, I need to hear this stuff. So that's, yeah, it takes a bit of time, but I'm sure you're appreciating it. You're like, okay, now I really know what was going on.
The thing I love about the real estate world is you're never really done learning. You know, there's always something more you can do. There's always something new that you can apply to your business. There's always a different area of real estate that you can get involved with. So through this process, I have, you know, learned some things. And one of the things that we are mandating moving forward is biannual surveys to our tenants about the property management. And it will go directly to me, the owner. They don't need to share their personal information if they don't want to. But I need to make sure that, you know, they're being provided for. That if they're making requests for stuff to be repaired, it's being handled in an appropriate amount of time. And that's something that we didn't do before. And now through this learning experience, it's something that I'll be doing moving forward.
Mm-hmm. When you started this, how many years ago did you think this is what I want to do? This is it, real estate. Like, did you have a family member that had properties that got you kind of interested, or?
My story is really, I think it's really weird. Because I think about this all the time, that if I think, you know, 2 years ago, I could have never, ever imagined that I was in this position. It all just kind of snowballed. So the long story short is at 17, I started working in real estate as a licensed assistant. In my state, I had to be 21 to get licensed. So I never went to college because I was always going to be a real estate agent. I was, you know, shadowing with one of the top brokers in the state. I loved what she did. I was able to learn from her for a few years. I turned 21. I took my licensing exam like the day I turned 21. And I was going to be a real estate agent. Like, that's what I was going to do with my life. And I hated it. I just couldn't communicate on an emotional level with retail buyers. You know, I would show them two properties and one was a clear winner investment wise with a, you know, better ROI in a neighborhood that had a better appreciation potential. But they didn't care because it didn't feel like home to them. It's about a feeling, yeah. And I'm not really a feeling kind of person. So
that's the kickboxing thing.
So I just didn't enjoy it. I really, really hated it. So I actually did it for about 9 months before I quit and went into corporate advertising sales and spent the next 9 years doing that. And that whole time I kept my license active, with really no intentions of ever going back into real estate. It wasn't until my husband, my now husband and I, we were, you know, getting engaged and we were planning, you know, our life together. And the idea of buying a house seemed like a reasonable step for us to take. And in Chicago, we have a pretty dense housing stock. We're about, depending on the area, between 50 and 70% of all buildings are 2 to 4 unit properties. So it's very hard to come by a single family home, and they are very, very expensive. So at the time, we're like, well, we don't have kids. We don't need that much space. If we buy a triplex and live in one unit, we can then rent out the other 2 units. And then eventually down the road, when we have a family, we can just deconvert that to a single family house. And that's how we got started about 4 years ago. And it ended up being a lot. So we lived in one unit, rented out the other 2. It ended up being a lot easier than we had anticipated. And that kind of planted the seed in our head of, you know, maybe real estate is something that we could do.
You know, so you guys had a positive first experience as a real estate investor.
Yeah. We've generally had pretty positive experiences throughout the entire process. Now we own 29 properties. We're at 80 units currently. And I think a lot of it's really about expectations. You know, if you're expecting every transaction to be perfect, you're going to be very disappointed. You know, there's always going to be something that comes up every single time, no matter how experienced you get. There's always something that comes up, whether it be little or big, and there's always going to be a surprise. But I think as long as you prepare yourself to expect that something's going to come up and you don't really dwell on the problem, you figure out how to fix it quickly, then I think it can be very positive all around.
You know, I use the getting on an airplane analogy with that exact concept because, you know, if you get on an airplane and you fly across the country and you expect to have an enjoyable experience, then you're going into it all wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to be awful. And if something good happens, then that's a bonus. But you gotta go into it thinking it's all bad.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
I travel very differently, Bree.
You know, that's why Jill and I are partners, by the way, because she's all sunshine and rainbows, and I take the kickboxing approach, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, the Bloody Mary tastes better on the airplane. Have another.
It does, though. It totally does for some reason. But, I mean, even now, like, and so we, you know, 2 years ago was really the turning point for us that really changed our direction and really got me thinking about doing this full time. And we've been, you know, no holds bar ever since. But it's been, you know, you have to have the right expectations. And now that I talk with a lot more investors and I interview the investors on my podcast, I find that the ones that had the right expectations going in and knew that this isn't a perfect way of doing things and that it's never going to be a perfect experience are the ones that were more, they were, you know, when things happened to them, they weren't disappointed. They expected it to happen.
So have you been, when you made this transition, you know, to where you are now, is there any point that you kind of go, what the heck am I doing? Like, look at me. You know, it's pretty awesome in the brief, relatively brief amount of time that you've, you know, look where you are, and gosh, you just got your license, right? Just kidding.
Plus, you're super young. I mean, I don't need to tell you the benefits of accumulating equity at your age.
Yeah. Agree. The only way to describe the past, you know, 2 years has been, it's a whirlwind, you know, and the first year, you know, in 2014, we bought 10 buildings, which in my head was like we'd only bought 2 in 1 year before. And we bought 10 in 1 year. Like, that was just crazy. Blew my mind. And then this year, I think we bought 16. So I'm a little bit scared of what next year is going to bring. Because now that, you know, a lot of the time was spent really building the foundation. And, I mean, we grew fast over the past 2 years. But the first 2 years, we accumulated 3 buildings in 2 years. So we bought 1 building. The next year, we bought 2. Or I think actually 2 years later, we bought 2 more. And then we bought 10. And then we bought 16. So in the beginning we went pretty slow, which was okay for me because I learned, you know, the basics of it all. I learned, you know, what we needed to do as far as processes and systems to put in place so so that when we did want to grow, it was already set up for us. And that I think is super important in taking your time to really build that foundation.
Did you have a role model or did you just dive right in?
I just dove right in. A lot of it was trial and error. So if I had a role model or a mentor, I probably would have not made some of the mistakes that I made and would have, you know, learned a lot faster. But I didn't really understand at that point that there was this whole world of real estate investors online. I had no idea. I had never talked to another real estate investor until 2 years ago. So it just never really, you know, popped in my head that there was networks and RIAs and, you know, mentorship programs and educational tools online that I could do that could help ramp me up. I was just completely blind to it all.
You know, we started, that was the number one comment that our new members were making about 4 months ago, no, probably 6 months ago. And they said, look, we need some, after we buy into this whole thing, we need some help afterward. And so Jill and I started this website called successplant.com. And so it's sort of like a small, bigger pockets for our little niche. Mm-hmm. And man, the success of the members who use that frequently is triple of what people, you know, and we can see who's using it, who's not.
Yeah.
Just bouncing ideas off of somebody is huge help.
That's really what has catapulted my business was finding bigger pockets 2 years ago. It was actually like 2 years ago. It was the week of Thanksgiving. So next week is when I discovered it. I was at work. It was, you know, the week of Thanksgiving. A lot of my clients were, you know, off for the holiday. I really didn't have anything really to do. So I was just Googling. I had a zoning question about one of my houses. And those sites came up, and all of a sudden there was this network of people that were answering my questions and helping me out and people that I could help in turn. And it just changed my life and my whole perspective. And now it's, you know, a part of my daily life is talking with other investors, helping people out, getting help from other people. Now I have multiple mentors that help me out. And that's what's really helped me quadruple my business.
So what's your end goal? Do you have an exit strategy?
That changes a lot. Okay. I just stopped doing goals really, because every time that I did, we would accomplish it in the first, you know, 3 months of the year, and then we have to set a new goal. So I've just been kind of letting things go with the flow. Our original plan was to own 4 properties in Chicago. And to just pay them off as soon as possible. And then, you know, in 10, 12 years, we would retire and live off of that cash flow. That goal has then changed when we went to go do Milwaukee. We ended up instead of paying down our mortgages early, we decided to reinvest that in more properties. And well, that's what we continue to do.
Your timing couldn't be better. I know we just came out of all this awful real estate market situation, and I think we've got maybe 12, 15 good years before the down cycle again. And I think if you stay on this path, you're going to be all set by then.
Yeah. That's what's important too, is understanding, you know, I got really lucky. We bought our first property in 2011. I almost bought a condo with my old roommate in 2006. And looking back, I'm so glad that we didn't do that, because I don't think it would even now be worth what we were going to pay for it. And we've been stuck with a really small 2-bedroom condo for the two of us. And we're both married now and have families. So that definitely wouldn't have worked out for either of us. But you know, making sure that your business can withstand a downturn as well. You know, you have to look at how, you know, I do rentals. So my cash flow has to be able to cover my mortgage, even if my property value decreases down the road. I have to be able to sustain that, those payments. So really understanding like how you build your business and what your risk tolerance is also very important.
You know, our product type is unwanted rural vacant land, and we pay cash for it. So we never mm-hmm. leverage anything. And then we sell it on terms to other people, you know, to the end user, so to speak. So it takes a lot of the hassle of leverage and management and stuff out of it. But a lot of our members start with our product type and then move on to your product type. They kind of get their feet wet in real estate, have that good positive experience maybe for a year or two, mm-hmm. and then move up or graduate toward, you know, higher dollar properties. So
And I mean, with the land thing is such an interesting area, or you said niche, of real estate. Because if you buy the right lot of land in an area that is in the path of progress and you just hold it for a couple of years, you could sell that down the road for much more money than you've purchased it for.
Hey, you know the W Hotel in downtown Chicago?
Yeah.
I helped renovate the property that was that the W bought that property from. It was owned by a company in Detroit. I'm from Detroit. And that was my first commercial real estate deal. This is long before it was actually the W Hotel. I mean, we developed that parking structure that's adjacent to it also.
And when was this?
It was like 90, I'm going to guess, 80, probably 92-ish.
Okay.
91, 92.
And that was an interesting time for Chicago, because in Chicago in the 80s, no one wanted to live downtown. It was not an area that was desirable. Mainly everyone lived in the suburbs and commuted to the city for jobs. And now it's the complete opposite. So I'm sure if you saw that area nowadays, you'd be shocked at development.
We were just there for a wedding, and it's amazing. You know, Detroit's still like that. Detroit is still the way Chicago used to be, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's how Milwaukee is too. We're just starting to see it in Milwaukee a little bit, where they're starting to redo areas of downtown, and the, you know, I don't want to say hipster, but the under 30, usually married or about to get married professional couple generally wants to live closer to the downtown area.
That's you, Bree.
That is me. That's why I live in the city. but that they're just starting that in Milwaukee, for it to be cool now, essentially, to live in city limits. Versus 5 years ago, no one wanted to live in city limits.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
There's
a trend for people to move into the inner city of Detroit also from the suburbs after school, which the jury's still out on that. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we've had a couple. Remember that recently that did that?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And all their friends thought they were crazy.
Yeah, there's people inside of this studio that think they might be crazy too, but I'm not going to mention any names.
Okay, well, let me ask for you one last question, please.
Sure.
So, for someone that's, you know, just starting out, you know, what do you think is the first step, or some advice for them?
I think the first step is finding something that you're comfortable with, and for some people that's land, for some people that's commercial, for some people that's, you know, a 200-unit apartment building. I think your first one you should be cautious about, and really take the time to learn the steps, whether that be through a mentor or a website or, you know, podcast, whatever it may be. But I think that the number one thing that any investor can have is a knowledge of their local market. And so really taking the time to learn the market, learn your area, learn the steps, learn what needs to be done, and then move forward with your first deal. I mean, your first deal is the hardest. You know, and in my opinion, as long as you don't lose money on your first deal, it's a win. You know, it might cost you some money to do it, but that's the experience and the learning experience. Once you get past the first one, though, it gets so much easier.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That is exactly how we structured Land Academy. You know, in fact, we go so far, we run a lot of promotions with sometimes when, you know, we run a lot of promotions that include free land. So we give away, if they buy into our program, our members, we give away a property, and we encourage them to like deed it to their spouse, or, you know, just to get all the jitters out, so to speak, so they can have that positive first experience and keep going.
They already have something in their inventory, even if it's just one, and they love that.
Yeah.
So. I would agree. I mean, a lot of people just can't pull the trigger on their first. But again, if you have the right expectations to go in there and say, it's a learning experience. And that's why even with my brokerage business, I represent clients who are buying. I'm like, listen, a lot of this stuff I can't really tell you about until you're actually doing it. You know, it's hard to explain it sometimes. You have to actually go through the motions and do it and learn from it to then be able to build on that foundation.
You know, what helps too is getting that first and second payment. Whether it's rent or like what we do on terms, getting that first, all of our stuff's on auto pay, credit card auto pay, and watching that money start to get deposited in your account consistently without really having to do anything, then it's for a lot of people, it did for me, the switch flips and it's like, well, I want 1,000 of these now.
That's how it starts, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was for us. I took a picture of our first rent checks that we got, because it was the most exciting thing for us. And then you do see, you know, it's real estate is an interesting world because no investment is risk free. But you can educate yourself enough to learn to mitigate those risks. And it's really not that hard. And if you're like me, unfortunately, though, you get so obsessed, it just completely takes over your life. And next thing you know, you're doing things that you never thought were possible. And it's amazing.
Hey, did you ever see Shark Tank on TV?
Love Shark Tank. Are you
so
kidding me?
If you were on Shark Tank and you had a product and your product sucked, I would buy into your stuff anyway, just because of you.
I would too. I'd say, and they've said that. I love that too. Like, okay, this sucks, but we want you. There's something else out there. We're going to talk.
I'll think of a shitty product and then I'll go on Shark Tank and pitch it.
Can't say shitty. You can't say shitty on my show.
Oh, sorry. I'll think of a bad product.
There we go.
Something that's really embarrassing too.
Really good.
What do they say? Just kill it. Just kill the idea. This is stupid. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Bree, you've been an awesome guest, and I'm sure I can't wait to check in with you for like 5 years. You're gonna be, you're gonna be Sam Zell.
Hopefully we'll be doing the podcast from a beach somewhere that I'll be permanently living in.
All right. So finally, where do we reach you on the internet again?
You can reach me in a few different places. My website is www.turnkey-reviews.com. I also have a blog site, which is kind of blogging my experiences in real estate, though it's not very updated. And that's www.chicagobree.com or by email at chicagobree@gmail.com.
She's adorable.
Yeah, I mean, I this whole turnkey thing intrigues me so much, and she's obviously making it work. So we're going to really investigate this from our margins.
Yeah.
Our margins in land compared to a rental property are like 5 times the profit margins without any work.
Mm-hmm.
The only risk at all in the property type that we have is that, you know, a certain percentage of the people stop paying. So they stop owning, so we resell it. I mean, that's the most negative experience I've had in this whole business model. So I think that there's a business model for us to turn these little assets, these cash flowing assets, into some, you know, some money when you line it up against a rental property.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was thinking about is the ROI that we get versus what she's doing and what other traditional investors are experiencing. It's even in just a little small scale. I put little things in, like I put a little something in bigger pockets the other day, and then I have 6 people go, can you really do that? I'm like, yeah, all the
time. What did you write?
Well, it was just something about buying property for hundreds and selling it for thousands. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, they just can't grasp you can really do that. I'm like, yes, you can really do that. You and I talk about all the time, everybody's focused on, I want to buy it for 95, I'm going to put 20 into it, and I'm going to sell it for 150 or something like that.
And that's when the tragedy starts.
Right. And it took me 6 months to find it, and then I almost lost it. Oh, and then this happened and that happened and all that good stuff. Okay, by the time you did all of that, you could have done 100 of my deals, you know, kind of thing, with your eyes closed and, you know, and having fun and, you know, not lifting a hammer, by the way, too. Yeah. I didn't have to, because my workers didn't show up, I didn't have to show there and do it because this had to be done today.
Yeah, we've done it both ways, Jill, you right. and I know which way I like best.
Totally. So I just got the coolest thing. I didn't tell you, got a guy reached out to me today and a private message in bigger pockets, and we're communicating right now. It's kind of like, Jill, I got to tell you, I totally believe what you're saying. I saw your thing about driving for dollars. I think it's ridiculous and a waste of time, but my partner thinks it's the greatest thing ever. So I'm fighting for the mailers, and, you know, we're talking about that kind of thing. And I'm like, thank you.
If anybody listening to this has a good story, a real good positive cash flow story about that is a direct result from driving for dollars, I would love for you to send that story, and we're going to have you on the show, to service@landacademy.com, because I've written several pieces now in a blog form and some other forms about driving for dollars and what a waste of time it is. Because what we teach here is send all these offers out and let the good ones come back to you. Mm-hmm. Let all the business come back to you. Post the property for sale on the internet and let the interested people go back to you. Don't knock your head against the wall trying to find, go out there and find deals like I think most of the people in real estate do. So I would love to hear a positive outcome from a driving for dollars situation. I just think it's a... It's not scalable.
Well, I just think it was back then that was the only way. Right. And now there's so many other ways. You know, we can get the data's available and all that. I get that. Back then, hey, once upon a time, there wasn't an MLS. And you really had to, you know, you know before internet and everything, you may know someone who, hey, I need to sell my house. Do you know a realtor? I mean, it was like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's all different now.
Anyway, she rocks. She's got the right attitude.
Fantastic.
She reminds me of a couple of young female members that we have at Land Academy. I'm not going to name any names, Claire.
That's really, really good. That's true. That's good.
Hey, what's going to go on the rest of the day, Jill? What do you got planned?
Oh,
I heard
goodness.
You're going to cut out early because you don't have anything to do.
Yeah, I'm kind of bored. No, got a full day of awesome acquisitions. I have voicemails waiting for me. I have a lady that has multiple properties in Taos, New Mexico that I cannot wait to call her back. Actually, I'm going to go do that right now.
We are officially in code black in our operation. our customer demand has exceeded our resources. So that's kind of my job. I'm going to solve that today.
Awesome. Okay, good.
Thanks.
All right.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.